The U.S. military is investigating the killing of an Italian intelligence officer at a checkpoint in Iraq, shot after helping to free an Italian journalist from kidnappers while heading to the airport. Army General George Casey commands the multinational forces in Iraq. Yesterday, reporters asked whether that probe includes a review of procedures at every checkpoint.
I have actually asked my subordinate commander to go back and look at all the checkpoint incidents for the last 6 months to see what we can draw from those to help us out.
General Casey said the investigation of last week's shooting could take up to 4 weeks. One man who has written about the type of guerrilla warfare that soldiers face in Iraq is U.S. Marine Corps Colonel Thomas Hammes. He says in a situation in which cars can serve as weapons, soldiers and Marines have to perform a balancing act between protecting civilians and protecting themselves.
As an insurgent, I'm going to, as often as possible, put innocent people between you and me when we're fighting. Because the only way I can stay alive is to keep something between you and me, because if you identify me, you will kill me. There's no question in my mind the American soldier, American Marine, can outshoot the insurgent, can outthink him, can outmove him. But what he can't do is move in that environment. So I've got to blend into that environment. I'm intentionally setting it up so to make your rules of engagement as difficult as possible. The suicide bomber brings a whole new level. When he's a suicide bomber, he's intent on dying. With a vehicle, you've got to make that decision fairly early. And a vehicle at a high rate of speed, you've got to make it very early.
From the point of view of an innocent, maybe an Iraqi family or cab driver, can they understand what the Americans are doing? I gather the rules of engagement at checkpoints involve lights going on and off, a couple of warning shots. Do these all communicate to an Iraqi?
Yes, I think they communicate fairly well because it's a school of hard knocks. I mean, they've learned to stay back from our vehicles. They've learned to approach our checkpoints very cautiously. Most of what we're getting now, accidents, are meeting engagements where neither expected the other to be there. And then you've got that split second of confusion and somebody's got to make a decision.
Like a checkpoint that's just been thrown up, somebody turns the corner and finds himself or a family
There is you're leading toward the Italian driver. The Italian driver certainly should have been aware enough of what a checkpoint looked like and should have been in no question in his mind that if he continued moving the checkpoint, he was going to get shot, particularly when he's on one of the deadliest roads in Iraq. That road strip to the airport has been the site of numerous bombings. You have to do unexpected things, or else insurgents will just know where you are, know exactly what you're doing, and go around you. So one of the things you do is mobile roadblocks. And I mean, after about a day, everybody knows where the fixed roadblock is. So you still leave some up on your major intersections because they do control flow in and out of the city. But their mobile roadblocks become much, much more important.
Why could not the personnel at the checkpoint stop a car coming their way with non-lethal force? I mean, shoot out the tires.
Because it doesn't work. Believe me, we are working on this. We have spent a lot of money in trying to figure out ways to electronically kill a car. Everybody would prefer some other system. But so far, nobody's produced one that works. There's no easy way to do this.
You suggested the Italian driver could have known some of their point of view is coming out. And they're saying they'd passed through several checkpoints. They thought everyone knew they were coming, most particularly those Americans knew they were headed for the airport. When you hear about these incidents and you get the stories on both sides, you get a sort of Rashomon-like experience. That is, you know, you will have an Iraqi, for instance, saying, I heard guns going off and I thought I'd get out of the way. And then the soldiers or the Marines see them coming at them at high speeds. The whole situation seems very confusing.
What you're pointing up is the problem that is inherent in the fact that warfare is changing. Warfare is no longer going to be the neat, tidy, high technology warfare that the Pentagon has really pushed in its documents for the last 10 or 15 years. Warfare is going to be these messy little insurgencies, and there is no messier possible environment to operate in. So what you're saying is, how can we possibly expect people to operate in this area, really? Because you're giving them an incredibly tough decision for a young 19-year-old. Our policymakers have to understand, when you decide to go into a fight like this, that's the fight you're in, and you've got to adjust your training and your policies accordingly.
U.S. Marine Corps Colonel Thomas Hammes is the author of The Sling and the Stone on War in the 21st Century. Thanks very much for joining us and talking about this.
Okay, anytime in the future.